Les colloques du Collège de France.
I'm super happy to be here to see so many of you. Well, thanks to Edith and Claire for organizing this. It's very exciting. So I will talk about how X chromosome activation is restricted to females. So actually, when I sent this title to Edith, she pointed out to me that this is actually not entirely correct. So I will acknowledge that there can be X inactivation in males if they have an XXY genotype. So, but I will talk about the, let's say, more common males and females, where we will compare XX females and XY males. So here, if we look at exist expression and X inactivation, it's we only see it in females. So during early differentiation, XX is upregulated in XX cells, leading to this female-specific expression pattern. So let's say a long-standing hypothesis on how this female specificity is ensured relates to the idea that this is somewhat linked to X dosage-dependent regulation. And more specifically, that there are X-linked genes that are present at a higher level in females compared to males that activate XXY, and that these can drive a female-specific XXY expression. So that's already Herri has taught about, and Joost has done a lot of work on this. So, but if this is, if this is true, a prerequisite for this is that there needs to be a very specific dose-response relationship between XXY and these X-linked activators, because which involves a fairly steep threshold. So in this hypothesis, females who have a double dose of X-linked activators will, let's say, make maximal levels of XXY, and males that have just half of the dose will make no XXY. And I have to say, I think these type of very steep threshold responses are actually rare in biology. So, but so what do we know? So, but yeah, so a key prediction from this model is that if in females we would reduce activity of X-linked activators by 50%, so going from here to here, we should abolish XXY expression. And this has, this idea has been guiding a lot of previous work. Here, typically, we test this by deleting one of the two copies of this X-linked activator in a heterozygous mutant. So far we haven't really found a factor that fulfills this specific criterion, I conclude, but we have still interesting candidates, let's say, in this realm. So there's RNF12 that Herri has already introduced, X-linked E3 ubiquitin ligase that indirectly activates XXY by targeting a repressor, Rex1 for degradation, and already in the initial study was shown that here heterozygous mutants does show a bit reduced XXY expression, but it's not, X inactivation is not abolished. So we recently found another X-linked activator in like a kind of screening study we published last year, which is ZIG3. So this is a transcription factor encoded on the X chromosome, and it can activate XXY. So now, in an ongoing project in the lab, we're trying to, let's say, more specifically test this dose-dependent activator hypothesis and trying to understand the role of these genes within this context. And this is what most of my talk will be about. But and where we ask the specific question on whether female-specific XXY upregulation is really governed by these highly dose-sensitive XXY activators. But before going into that, I have a few slides to summarize what we so far know about ZIG3, since this is a new factor in XXY regulation. So it's a ZIG3, it's a pluripotency-associated transcription factor, actually. So it's upregulated here during early differentiation of ES cells, so that's a time course experiment. ZIG3 in proteomics, and we can compare it here to XXY dynamics in the same setup. So it's upregulated early, kind of at the time when XXY is upregulated, let's say, and it generates somewhat higher in females compared to males because it's on the X chromosome. Then what happens if we remove it? So this is an experiment where we did a knockdown by CRISPR-I. And actually, if multiple transcription factors that we have identified as regulators of XXY, but please just take a look here at ZIG3, where now if we perform RNA FISH, we see a quite strong reduction of XXY positive cells. meaning that this factor is able to control exist expression in a binary fashion, let's say. And finally, we think it's a direct regulator. So that's a cut and tag experiment, still a bit preliminary, but I'm quite confident. So that Zig3 binds here to the promoter proximal region of exist in the within the first exon, so that's what we call the RE57 regulatory element or the P2 region. And we also have some reporter assays shown that this is a direct activation. Okay, but now. So now we wanted to test this predicted threshold response. And to do that, we actually developed a new tool that is called CasTuner that allows us to kind of quantitatively tune gene expression of endogenous genes. So it's a version of a CRISPR interference system where we use a catalytically dead Cas9 to bring a repressor complex to a promoter of a gene. So specifically, we use a histone deacetylase for repression because this enables this kind of gradual downregulation. And then the system is controlled by a conditional degron, which allows us to kind of tune the levels of this repressor complex and thereby indirectly the levels of the targeted gene. So we target this system to Zig3 and RNF12 to do a gradual knockdown, let's say, of these factors and then look what happens to exist. And actually, for neither RNF12 nor Zig3, we find this predictive threshold response. Instead, for Zig3, we see that there's a kind of, it is dose sensitive, I would say, but much more gradual than here in my cartoon, while RNF12 is actually less dose sensitive, but we see a strong effect on exist when we do a strong knockdown of RNF12. So this was a bit puzzling, since now, and it could mean, of course, it could mean that, you know, we still need to keep looking. Maybe there are other X-linked activators that fulfill that have this behavior. Maybe it's something about combinations. But also it could mean that maybe this the hypothesis is not entirely, let's say, correct or complete. To support this type of data, we also looked at the heterozygous mutant lines, where we actually just generate, let's say, these 50% reduction we generated for RNF12 and Zig3. And you see, so these are the homozygous mutants, where we see quite a strong reduction of exist, but the heterozygous mutants here, there's only a weak effect on exist. Similar, fairly similar to what we saw in the dose response. So now to understand whether... So to revisit, let's say, the activator hypothesis, we used turned to mathematical modeling to ask whether, actually from a more theoretical point of view, is this kind of threshold-like behavior really required to explain female-specific expression? So what we did, we tried to see whether we can generate a mathematical model that can reproduce female-specific expression without assuming this kind of strong cooperativity, which is leads to this threshold-like behavior. So I just summarize this on two slides. But so we actually generated a quite large number of different mathematical models. So they all describe exist as the exist promoter that can assume three different states. Also only in the on state exist RNA will be made. And so we included actually this repressed state because we have quite some evidence that exist upon differentiation will assume a heterochromatic state with DNA methylation and H3K9 trimethylation. And of course, this has been also known since a long time. So this is the base of the model. And then we add in different types of X-linked regulators, let's say. So for now, they're just called X-linked factors. So they can be, in principle, activators or repressors, depending on the model. And they will regulate one of these promoter transitions. So each of these models, now we simulated with a large number of randomly selected parameter sets. But importantly, these didn't allow for very strong cooperativity. And then we essentially simulated both XX and XO cells and looked how many monoallelic exist expressing cells would we get for each of the models. So each of these bars is a model, and we end in XX cells, which is these darker bars, or XO cells, which is these lighter bars. So the way to read this, down here it says whether the model assumes it's an activator or repressor. Then we also test different models where the X-linked factor is silenced by exist, or it's an escapee. And so here these, finally, these dashed and dotted lines, they are kind of the background best the best model you can get without assuming any X-linked regulators. So for a model to explain female-specific expression, you want this dark bar to be high and this light bar to be really low. So the best model in this analysis, and here we always show kind of the best parameter sets, let's say, is this one, where it's an activator that is silenced by exist and that controls this transition from on to off. So now we took this bad model, extended it by adding like a second regulator to the remaining, let's say, positions here, did essentially the same analysis, and we found this model that essentially has now two X-linked activators. And this is actually pretty, it's very good in explaining female-specific expression, so it's more than 90% of monoallelic expression in females. So, and then we analyzed this model in some more detail. So that's just a little bit of different visualization showing that it can enable 90% of expression in females, and essentially all XO cells will have no exist expression. This is an example simulation of one parameter set, just showing that exist is upregulated in the simulation only in XX cells and mostly from one chromosome. So now, what are the predicted dose-response relationships in this model? And so if you simulate essentially this kind of gradual knockdown experiment I showed you with the model, we see that we don't see a steep threshold, but a bit similar to the experimental data, there is a bit more of a gradual response, and this and there's also a bit of a difference between these two factors. So we have identified. So in principle, I think what this analysis shows is that we can have female-specific expression if we assume two regulators without assuming very strong cooperativity. So how now does this model work? So it has kind of two modes, let's say, of operation. So one part is that we have this kind of classical dose-dependent excess upregulation. So, and that's in the model mainly the role of this XXA1 factor. Because females have a higher dose of that factor, they have a higher probability to upregulate exist. But this is just a quantitative difference and not kind of a binary all or nothing effect. Because then in addition, we have the other factor, which more operates in what I call like a kind of checkpoint, which is only triggered if all X chromosomes in a cell are silenced. So if the factor is completely removed from the cell. And then what happens is that this will destabilize exist expression and leading exist being turned off to go here or here. So now we wanted to know what like our known factors, so Zig3 and RNF12, how they would fit into this model. So we compared model simulations to experimental data. So first, if we look now at these dose-response relationship, I showed you both of them already, but this suggests that RNF12 more resembles this XXA2 factor, which operates in this checkpoint, while Zig3 resembles more the XXA1 factor, which is the dose-sensitive activator. So that's a kind of our working hypothesis. Then a second prediction from the model is the behavior of a heterozygous deletion of the factors. So if you know, and that's a specific prediction for XXA2, which is different from XXA1. So just to explain that, if we imagine we have a deletion on one chromosome of XXA2, if now the wild-type chromosome will upregulate exist, it will silence the remaining copy of XXA2, meaning that now XXA2 will be completely absent, which will trigger this checkpoint already upon monoallelic expression, leading to excess downregulation. So the only stable situation is actually silencing of the mutant chromosome. So this predicts that there, if you have a heterozygous mutation for XXA2 factor, this will lead to a skewing of exon activation. Now, which is shown here again in our simulation, where what is plotted here is exist allelic expression from the mutated allele relative to total expression, which in the wild type is around 0.5, but for the XXA2 factor is going close to 1. Now, down here, we have our experimental data using ZIG3 and RNF12 heterozygous mutant, and here in agreement with previous data from Jo's lab, the RNF12 heterozygous mutant indeed shows that skewing. We reproduce this in our mutant cell line. While for ZIG3, we don't see any skewing, which is in agreement with it's acting more at this dose-dependent activator. So with this, this is where we are actually with the project. I just want to finish with kind of some thoughts, let's say, on it. So what I showed you is that, at least from a theoretical point of view, if you combine these two modes of regulation, you can also ensure female-specific expression without strong cooperativity. Then, of course, for this checkpoint mode to operate, it means that some cells need to silence all chromosomes in the cell, which means in the female, this will only be triggered if there's biallelic excess upregulation, which in the mouse, I think, is still relatively rare. But a few years ago, we and others observed that indeed this happens in vivo right at the onset of exon activation, and then it's very rapidly resolved, pointing to the existence of such a checkpoint. But then interestingly, in other mammals, this biallelic expression is much more prevalent. So like in humans or primates, meaning that this checkpoint mechanisms could be actually play a more important role there. And it would also, in principle, allow cells a kind of transition from a biallelic to a monoallelic state, which happens in humans, probably. And finally, I think a conclusion from this work is that if you observe a weak phenotype in a heterozygous mutant, it doesn't exclude a role for this factor in female-specific exist expression, because a heterozygous mutant is actually behaves quite differently from a male if you assume the possibility of this checkpoint mechanisms. And I think this is not really the best way to kind of test X-linked activators for their involvement in female-specific expression. So with this, I come to my acknowledgement. So in this work I talked about, there were really many people involved. So there was Ilona, Vivi, Melissa did all the modeling work, Alex, and then Till and Gemma, who's not on here, and then all our funders. And I'm happy to take questions if you have.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.